It always impresses me how this service goes. If you're not encouraged this morning, it's because you're not allowing yourself to be encouraged. I want to start off this morning because I want to get you to think. And I know you all got one because I got one. I know you got one. But I want you to think this morning of that one person. It could be two or three, but that one person that when you see walking in the room, you go, oh, my word. Not them again. That one person who plucks your nerve. We all got them. Tell me you don't. You love them. Don't get me wrong, but they just drive you crazy. Some of them may be those ones that have this foul language when they come in, every other word's a cuss word. And it drives you just absolutely. When you, it's like that chalkboard, the fingernail across chalkboard, that's how you feel each and every time they walk through the door. So I want you to think about that through this entire lesson. Think about that person. You know, less, let me give you one other thing, just tell you a little news today. Me and Kim have been married 29 years today. I told her this morning, you got one more year. One more year, we hit the 30-year mark, and then it's done. You have to keep me. Because I guarantee you, over those 29 years, I was that person that we were just talking about. Walking through the door, Kim going, oh, no. Here he comes. But I told her, after next year, you got 1 year to make your decision, because after that, you're done. You stuck with a lifetime commitment. You know, Wesley brought up last week, you remember lessons, Wesley brought up a point, he goes, the key word, who? You remember that, Wesley? Who's who? You know, that is one of the questions that have been brought up throughout all the time. And I think it's something that we've missed in this world today. Who are we talking about? Who needs to know God's Word? Who? Who needs to have Christ in their life? Who? We as people kind of like to separate ourselves with a group of people, and we kind of put ourselves in a group and forget about those people over there. They may be good people, and they may be bad people. But this morning's title of the lesson, which I wrote, because I told Wesley, I wrote it before I even heard his sermon, who is my neighbor? And this is coming from Luke chapter 10. It's the only place throughout scriptures that talks about this event, about the Good Samaritan. It's only 12 verses, so this morning's lesson should be pretty quick, because it's only 12 verses that we're talking about. But as I studied this, and I have a special heart for this scripture, because I've used it in funerals and I've used it other places because I'm a first responder. The Good Samaritan law that was created was showing anybody who shows mercy on another person by trying to help them cannot be sued. And it's all about mercy in this law. And this is what it's talking about here. But there's so much more involved in this 12 verses that we're about to read and talk about this morning that I want to go over with you this morning. Let's just start out. Let's start out with verse 25. Turn over to Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. I just want to read the first verse of this. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. This was an expert of the law, part of the Jews that knew the law inside and out. And it says, and he was probably one of the ones that looked at Jesus and said, oh, my word, here he comes again. But he was the expert of the law. He knew the law inside and out. And he asked Jesus a question. In verse 25, he go back to it, the expert of the law. Teacher, he asked, what do I do to inherit eternal life? He says, I got him. he's going to have to answer it one way or another, because I know the law and he ain't going to give this over on me. In verse 26, I love how Jesus put things. Jesus turns it around and says, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it? Tell me what you think the law says. How do you read it?" And he goes on. Let's read with Luke chapter, verse 27 and verse 28. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Oh, pretty simple. As you'll see as we go through this lesson, it's not pretty simple. Because where he's referencing this to is back to the original law. And if you'll flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment or two, I want you to see what he's talking about, where he got this scripture from. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5, they just got the Ten Commandments. They were just given the law. And this, he's an expert of the law. He knows this law inside and out. And he knows what the reference in what we're going to read in chapter 6. Chapter 6, starting with verse 1. "These are the laws and commandments and decrees and the law of the Lord your God directed me to teach you, you to observe in the land that you are crossing in Jordan to proceed, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as they live, and by keeping these decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that ye may enjoy a long life." Uh-oh. These laws are so important that if you need to follow them, it's going to give you a long life. It's something that's going to give you joy in life. It's a promise that he's made for you. But as we go on, let's read the verses, Deuteronomy's, go on further. "So that your children and their children after may fear the Lord your God as long as they live, by keeping these decrees and commandments I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life." And he says this, "Hear, Israel. Be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that ye may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Here he says it again. It must be important. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And this is where he gets it from. This is where he just told Jesus, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart." So the very verses he gave him is related to all the commandments. When he referenced the Lord to love him with all his heart, with all his strength, and all his soul, he references with reference in all the commandments. Well, you know, when I read that, I kind of read through this story so many times and just relate it to that one verse. But what is attached to that that we need to understand. And as we move through this lesson, you'll see there's so much more involved to this. So much more that's given to us. And, you know, Tom read that verse, I think, at the perfect time. We never had it right after the Lord's Supper very often, but it tells us to worship our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and to remember what he's done for us. Not only to worship him, but to remember what the Lord has done for us. Let's read on. In I read verse 6. In verse 6, and I'll read it again. Those commandments that I give to you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about it, them when you sit and at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them to a symbol on your hand and bind them to your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and be on your gates. You need to spread this and carry it with every aspect of your life. The law of the Lord, every aspect of your life. And then verse 10, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, a land with large flourishing cities. Now listen to this part. Listen to this, because I'm going to turn it around on us in here in just a second. With all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He told him, what I'm about to give you, the house that I'm about to give you, the city that I'm about to give you, the vineyards I'm about to give you, the well that I got, you had nothing to do with it. It was given to you. I'm about to give it to all that you're in the land of milk and honey. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand one thing as we read this. You need to look back at all the blessings that you had no parts of. That there were blessings that were given to you, that God took care of. Troubles that you got into that the Lord got you out of. Difficulties that you are faced that the Lord got you through, that you had no difficulties to. And that's what he wanted to remind them. Well, this is what the law does for you. When you follow God's word and his will, he provides everything that you need, and you have no parts of it. He did it freely. And what's it say after that? Fear the Lord your God. Serve him with only, and take your oath in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. And his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. We look around this morning and we notice that more and more people are following the gods of those worlds out there. Fewer and fewer people are in here that need to do that. And I'm telling you now, when you follow away from doing God's will, it is not going to be a good outcome. Just like he told the Israelite people right then and there, if you follow any other gods, it's not going to be a good result for you. Because you done forgot what I did for you. You done forgot everything that I provided for you. And he says, I'm a jealous God. He doesn't want us to serve any other gods. Do not put, in verse 16, do not put your Lord, put Lord your God to the test. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And I think about it this one, and when we go back to Luke, and when the expert of the law puts Jesus to the test. It doesn't come with a good outcome. It doesn't come with a good outcome. And then when I read that part, and I was wondering, what was the expert of the law thinking right then and there? When he used that verse, and it's all tied in together with this. Ooh, am I doing the right thing? But he says in verse 17, but sure to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and the scriptures and the decrees that I have given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go and take over the good land the Lord promised you and on the oath of your ancestors. And thrust out all your enemies and be for you as the Lord has said. In the future, when your sons ask you what it means to the scriptures and the decrees and the law of the Lord your God has commanded you. When our kids ask us, why do we follow this? Why do we follow God's word? When we bring up our kids and they ask us those questions, why do I got to do this? Because what the Lord has done for me and what the Lord has done for you, He takes care of us. We need to remember that we were pulled out of slavery from sin. We need to remember and teach our kids and those who are around us what the Lord has done for us. In today's time and world, they're talking about, what can I get out of it? They're not seeing what's already being done for them. We need to tell them about what we were slaves under Pharaoh in verse 21 in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs of wonders and great terrible on the Egyptians and the Pharaohs and the whole house. But He brought us out from there to bring us to and gave us the land He promised under oath and to our ancestors. The Lord commands us to obey all those decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive as in the case of today. And if we are careful to obey the law before the Lord our God, He has commanded us that He will be our righteousness. That's a whole lot of stuff. And we haven't even gone through a couple verses. Being that expert, and Jesus made him tell what the Lord has done for him, basically. Reminded him in his own words, remember what the law says. Why we should fear the Lord. Why we should only worship Him. Because of all the great things that He's done. All the great things that He has shown us. Now, we can go back for a little bit to Luke chapter 10. And let's start back and read just... Let me start over and read, just put it all back in perspective for a moment. You have the expert of the law who tests the Lord. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered, correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Now you got the expert of the law, he just told him, you answered the question to yourself. So now he wants to justify his answer. But he wanted to justify his answer in verse 29. He says, but he wants to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now we're at the title of the lesson. So who is my neighbor? If you flip over to Leviticus right quick, Leviticus 19, verse 18. Because this is what he remembers, this is where he's quoting back in the Old Testament, the Old Law, back in Leviticus. Do not seek revenge to bear occurrence against your anyone among your people. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. So now the expert of the law, I'm telling you what he's thinking in his mind. He says, all right, I'm supposed to do good to those other Israelites. Well, I'm supposed to do good to those who are neighbors to me and do good to those people. But now Jesus tells a story that is about to just upturn his whole way of thinking. Let's go back and start reading and what Jesus replied. In verse 30, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. Now, you need to understand one thing. Back in this time, this was the worst road to ever go down to. The only road you could get to one to the other. Thieves knew that. They waited on the side of the road for people to be by themselves and be vulnerable so they could attack them. So he picked the worst road they could possibly have. The worst possible place. And he has this man, one of their fellow kinsmen, going down this road and robbers rob him and attack him. They strip him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So they get this one of their own kinsmen laying on the ground, all beat up and left for half dead. And they go, oh, what a terrible story. And he starts out, and a priest happened to be going down the road, the same road. And they say, oh, we got it. We have priests coming down the road. That's the one person we probably would expect to do something. And a priest happened to come down the road, the same road, and when he saw the man, he took care of him? No. He passed on the other side because he didn't want to be a victim himself. So he passed on the other side, and the expert of the law is probably going, I was really relying on that priest to make a difference because then he would have abstained what I was just saying. So to a Levite, he came down to the place where he saw and got the Levite here. Here's another chance for I to be redeemed in my story here. And the Levite passed by on the other side. And you can imagine what happens next. He says, but a Samaritan. The expert of the law going, not a Samaritan. That's the one person that when you fingers going down the chalk walls, he just plucks this last nerve, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But he was saying, not the Samaritan. No, please, Lord, not let it be the Samaritan. What did Samaritan do? When he traveled, he came where the man was. And when he saw the man, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine. And when he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took over 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for your expenses that you may have. This Samaritan not only took care of this person and bandaged him and didn't leave him going, he put him on his own donkey. He carried it to the end. He paid for his time at the end. And he told the innkeeper, when I return any other money that this person has accumulated, I will pay. The Samaritan. The expert of the law is saying, well, you could have stopped with just bandaging. And that would have been bad enough. But now he had to take him to the inn and make sure that he had everything he needed. What did Jesus say to him? Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fallen to the hands of the robbers. The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The expert of the law had to say, the one who showed mercy. That's the who. You know, when we talk about the Good Samaritan and the difference between the Israelite people and the Good Samaritan, it's the one person they cannot stand. A Samaritan is someone who was, when the Israelites were overcome by their enemies, they took their wives and they mixed them up. And they were their enemies. They were their traitors, basically. The worst person in all the world for the Israelites to be related to were the Samaritans. He out of all the people in the whole world, just do not pick the Samaritans. Because those are our worst enemies. But I thought about that and we talked when I was going through this lesson. You know, you or I are the Samaritans. We're not the original Jews. The promises that were made way beyond all of this. We are the Samaritans. We're the ones that probably drive Satan crazy because we're the ones that are not supposed to be doing this, but we're supposed to. I'll give you an example that we go to. Everybody, you don't have to turn to it, and I won't read all these verses. But the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember that story? John 4, and it's 1 through 26. John 4, 1 through 26. Jesus goes to the well, and there's a woman who's at the well who's going at the heat of the day. Because of all the things that she was done. She was cast out by her own people. So she can't come up there with the women because of the things that she's done. Jesus asked for her, for water from her. And being a Samaritan, knowing that he was a Jew, she was asking, why are you asking water from me? I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus says, I'll give you water. Water of what? Eternal life. A water that when you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again. Here we go back to that same story, come back to the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, I can provide you a water, a living water. And Jesus, and the woman says, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get it out of the water, out of the well? So they were talking. And pretty much the Samaritan woman saying, well, you don't know me. And Jesus asking, where is your husband? I already know the answer to that. She says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You have many husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Which just blew her away that she knew that he knew everything about her. So she ran back to her town and told him, look, I met the Jesus who knew everything about me. Knew everything about me and still accepted me for who I am. Who was willing to give me that living water. Even though the person that y'all rejected, he didn't reject. That's the who. You know, in today's world and times, I think we forgot who the who is. Especially as us as Christians. Because I told you to remember that person that just drives you absolutely crazy. That person that when he walks in the room, you just go, oh my goodness, just give me patience, Lord. That's the who that we need to have mercy on. Because you know, Abraham promised us a long time ago, back in Genesis 22:18, all nations would be blessed. If everybody out there could understand that concept. We wouldn't have those problems that we were talking about in Chicago this morning where we're posting signs saying, please, gangs, don't shoot during the day. If all the world understood that, we wouldn't have issues because we'd understand how blessed we are as a nation. We'd understand how truly blessed we are as Christians. We'd understand how blessed we would share to our kids how blessed they are because God blessed us. The who is us. And the who is every one of them out there. And we start sharing God's love, His mercy, and His grace. People, no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, just like the woman at the well, we all have the woman in the well in us. Do you realize that? We all have the woman in the well in us because He gave us of our sins. He's had mercy on us. So often, many times, we want to say, we get frustrated with the people and we get angry with things that occurred. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, there was an accident in Prince George County where a little child got killed in a car accident, was thrown from the car. And everybody was upset that it said that parents should get their just deserves for not fastening that kid into the seatbelt. Should get their just deserves. You know, the good Lord probably says, well, do you want yours? So when we get frustrated with people and angry with people and upset with people and we have a tough time forgiving people, a lot of times it's family members. When we have a tough time struggling and angry with somebody and because they've done us all wrong, and we say, they need to get their just deserve. Just remember, you ain't getting yours yet. We need to remember that. No matter who we face, no matter what struggles they go through, no matter what things that they've done wrong, we've got to remember what mercy and grace was shown to us. When the expert of the law was shown that and reminded that, hey, generations ago, I saved your people. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. We are in the exact same boat. We need to follow His scripture, His laws, His love, His mercy, and have the same love and mercy and grace to anyone and everyone around us. It's not an easy thing because forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. But we need to share it, and this is what we need to preach and teach, is what the gospel and the law, and how important the fear that we need to have for the Lord, but realize you might be afraid, but He's blessed you well beyond what you deserve. He's definitely will bless me well beyond what I deserve. I'm standing here today, and just me alone standing here is saying a lot. I still struggle. You see my struggles. I'm dyslexic. I struggle as I read through sometimes. But I'm able to get up here because it's because of the Lord. It's nothing that I've done. You're able to sit in the seat this morning. It's because of the Lord. It is nothing that you have done. Nothing. And that's the way we need to live each and every day. As that good Samaritan realized that we were put in a place for a purpose and a reason. Let us not forget that. I don't know what you're struggling through. I don't know what difficulties you may have in your life. I don't know. I just know mine. But I know we got good elders in this church. If there's anything that we can do for you, any struggles that you're going through, it may be a struggle with forgiving somebody. It may be a struggle with doing the right thing. As we read in Deuteronomy, always try to do the right thing. I don't know what you're going through. But I know Jerry will pray for you. He's prayed for me. I know this congregation will pray for you because they prayed for me. I know it works because I'm standing here. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, we can overcome it together. Just remember what the Lord has done for you. Why don't you stand now as we stand and sing.